Luke chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 23. And if you need a Bible, there's probably one in front of you there. Anybody remember my message from last week about the parable of the 10 virgins? Okay, that was a memorable sermon. I'll try to get better. But the truth is that how many of us, we live in a time where, man, things are rapidly changing and changing daily. The spiritual climate of America has grown cold. Many times the church becomes indifferent, but I'm believing for a revival in the land. I said, I'm believing for a revival in the land. How many of those revival starts in our own hearts? So the truth is, I'm in a revival, and I'm looking for the manifestation in others. I believe that the Lord wants to lay his hand mighty upon each individual. We just can't wish it to happen. We need to pray. We need to be active about our faith. There are strongholds that are over each city, over each community. And prayer displaces those. Come on. Prayer opens the door. And the truth is, how did you ever get saved? How did the Lord ever reach you? And if God reached you, everybody else is easy. So somebody prayed for you, whether it's somebody you knew, somebody you didn't know, somebody prayed for you. We also need to step it up in prayer. That means the time that you're not here, you're seeking the Lord. Say amen. In Luke 22, Luke 13, verse 22, I'm going to start there. So he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one of them said, Lord, there are few who are saved. And he said unto them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter, but not be able to. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you'll begin to stand outside and knock and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll answer you, I do not know you from where you're from. How many knows that's a hard indictment? When the door gets shut, how many knows that it's too late? Right now is the day of salvation. When people say to me, hey, I got time to get my life right with the Lord. I got time. You don't know the day or the hour. And you see that just recently, it doesn't matter if you have money or not, death comes to all. And sometimes it's tragic and quick. So the truth is that if you have breath today, and if you're here this morning, and you need to get your life right with the Lord, today's the day, and now's the time. Don't wait or hope that, hey, I can do this tomorrow or down the road. It's today's now. The scripture says, hey, there's few that will be saved. The question is posed. The truth is this, many have seen, many have heard, but still haven't accepted the truth. He went to the Jews first, and many of them said, no, you can't be the Messiah. They rejected him unto death. So the truth is, the Gentiles got swept in. Now, in the last days, God's going to move amongst the Jewish population again. There is going to be a revival according to Revelation. I mean, that's going to be glorious. Scripture calls it like the resurrection from the dead. It's truly how glorious it's going to be. But when I look at America today, many times we have these ups and downs. We have pockets of God moving. But I'm here to say God wants to do a supernatural work today. I believe revival can change society. When people change, how many know society changed? Look at verse 24. It says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter, will not be able to. Notice it said strive. The answer to the question about few being saved is this. There's an inward interest. There's a compassion for the lost. You're concerned even about the salvation of your own soul. You're looking and saying, you know what? I'm saved. I want to continue with God. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you get your life right at the altar and then you walk away from him. What type of marriage would it be if you never spent time with the spouse? I mean, if you're with the Lord, you stay with them. And you know what? Jesus is my best friend. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Who can help you like God? If you think about it, he has an infinite vocabulary. And listen to me, you can't exhaust his wisdom. Hello? This question is posed, then who can be saved? It says strive to enter the narrow gate. Do you know what? It's a narrow gate. Jesus made this statement. Now, you can get mad at me all you want, but Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way. How many knows he's the only one that paid the price for your sins? There's a lot of people said they're gods, but none of them have lived a sinless life and died for your sins. And not only died for your sins, but he rose again. Death couldn't hold him. Now, God forbid, I want to say this, I don't want this to be morbid, but if all of us had to get out of this room fast, there's multiple exits here, but if that was the only exit, how many knows that that's the exit you take? When it comes to mankind, they're trying to say, you know what, I'll have another way. I'll have another way. No, Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the door that leads to life. Then, you know what, if there's a door, then go out the door. If you need to come in, then come in the door. Too often today, the enemy's trying to say, there's many ways. There's many ways to God. Jesus said, there's only one way. It's through me to the Father. When we get that down in our spirit, our life goes a whole lot better. Say amen. If you're taking notes, in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, he says, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the way and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereat. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, but very few find it. When I look over the planet, I wonder how many people really are saved. How many people really know the Lord? I'm not just talking about being religious. I'm talking about know the Lord. Come on, we got to know him. We can have a personal relationship with God. I remember one time I was witnessing, I was knocked on a lady's door, we were witnessing. And I shared, I go, you know what? You can have a personal relationship with the Lord. This lady got mad at me. How can you say God is your Father? I can say it because I have relationship. Jesus said, I call you friends. Not only that, I call you brothers and sisters. And everyone who does the will of my Father becomes that. I tried to share with her, I go, listen to me. It's a personal relationship. Isn't some guy, big guy up in the sky with some big things ready to strike you down? No, you can know the Lord your God. But when I read in Scripture, it says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. But I've lived long enough on this planet, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereat. Sometimes we need to be at that place of bridge in people's lives. Say, listen, the bridge is out. Don't go this way anymore. Sometimes we got to warn the individuals. Listen to me, the witness of the church needs to amplify. Now I'm going to share this with you. Next Sunday, I got an illustrated sermon here. I'm going to be dealing with Samson and Delilah next week. So invite somebody out. It'll be fun. I mean, as we can say, it's fun in the house. And Scripture says it's narrow. Listen to me. No excuse today will help you when the grace is gone. In Luke 13, verse 25, look at verse 25. Then once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, those will stand outside. Notice that they will stand outside and knock. It's a fruitless way. Listen to me. When the door's shut, it means too late. One day he's going to come for his church. Come on. And no one can say, Lord, you didn't give me an opportunity. There's an opportunity right now. There's an opportunity. And how many opportunities have we all had to get our life right with the Lord? However old you are, you've had that many opportunities. The truth is that you can live your whole life and reject. And I know this from personal. My father is now in his 80s, and he still hasn't received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I keep praying for my dad. He's softening. Keep praying. His name's Melvin. Lord, keep softening his heart. He's even surrounded by people where he lives that have Bible studies. Hallelujah. I said, Dad, why don't you just hook up with those folks? It's around him. God has given my dad unbelievable amount of chances. And the reason is because of prayer. Many times prayer from you. His life's been spared many times over. I mean, God's not willing. Listen to me. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but all come to repentance. His grace is there. I can see him reaching out to people today. Say, come on, let's get it right. Come on, let's get it right. Come on, come on. He keeps pleading in those things. His loving kindness leads you to repentance. But sometimes we're so stubborn. Sometimes we'd rather enjoy sin instead of our Savior. Now, I know for a fact, when you get saved, you only give up what's killing you anyways. I've never been more happier serving the Lord than ever serving flesh. I'm serious. The truth is that God works in you and through you. You love it. But notice they stand at the door and knock. Listen to me. A lot of people will have this time to say, Lord, I needed more time. Notice he says to them, I don't know you. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me. He's not going to lie and say we were intimate. Sometimes we think God's all of a sudden going to go. He's going to change. He will not repent to his son and say, Jesus, I'm sorry you had to die. You died in vain. No, he says you died for a reason. You rose for a reason. We're the ones that need to accept it. God's given us the power of choice. We can choose to serve him or choose not to. And see, that falls on each individual. You can't blame your life on somebody else. Now, I know there are situations that are hard. I know upbringings are hard. But ultimately, you are responsible for you. And you have to give an account for you. And when that comes of an age to have that, that's when you're accountable for it. Say amen. How many knows God is good? Jesus made this statement, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. In John 3:3-7, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And here's Nicodemus, a leader of his time, a religious leader, said this, how can a man that is old be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus answered the question. He said, most assuredly I say unto you, he that's born of water, listen, you're born of your mom and dad, that's one thing, but there's also being born of the Spirit. Being born again is a term that God used. What happens when you become born again is God's Spirit comes in your life and makes that Spirit alive. You still look the same. So he said, listen to me, you have to be born of mom and dad. There you are, but then you become born of the Spirit. That's the difference. And it's that Spirit that goes back to God who gave it. Flesh is flesh and Spirit is Spirit. So God's good. That when you become born again, you belong to his family. Say amen. How many of us that God is good? Many times people have this idea that, well, if I do good works, it's good enough. If I just do this, or if I do enough of this, God will be pleased. You know when God is pleased? When you walk by faith. When you accept what he's done, then you know what happens? Your works follow you. Many times we're trying to work our way into the kingdom. You're never going to be good enough. You could never do enough. You can't pay the price for your sins. There's only one who is sinless can do that. One has to be greater than the payment. Oh, I hope you hear this. He was greater than the payment. And many times we're like trying to accept it on ourselves when Jesus said, I paid the price. Now, over the years, I've been in a court of law. I've been on the stand, and I've been the witness. Courts are never fun to go to. How many have ever been in court before? Okay, how many here have ever been incarcerated? Get that hand up. Don't be shy. No one's going to judge you. Oh, my gosh. Vail's been incarcerated. Bless the Lord. Let me get that on the prayer chain. How many know sometimes you can make a mistake? Yes or no? I've learned this. He who has been forgiven of much usually loves much. Amen. But the truth is that, hey, I'm glad that the Lord brought you to the place where he got your attention. I've learned this. If you don't get your attention in God's house, he'll get your attention in the world. And in the world, the payment's a whole lot greater. Say amen. Well, the truth is God wants to work in that. Now, can you imagine if you're facing all these penalties and the judge is up there ready to put sentence on you, and then one steps up, says, you know what, judge? Whatever that person owes, whatever the payment is, put it on me. And I'll let that person walk free. That's what Jesus did for all of us. We were guilty in sin. We were guilty as charged. The payment was eternal life separate from God. And Jesus steps up and becomes your judge, hallelujah, your attorney, and your substitute. I mean, that's a good deal. And our choice is now, will we serve him or will we just leave him? He loves me so much. Thank you. When you truly get saved, you thank God for what he's done for you. And you also thank God you didn't go to hell, because that's just as real. Say amen. The smartest thing you'll ever do, I don't care what education level you go to. I don't care if you have a bunch of letters after your name. All that is fine in the natural. But if you don't get saved, you haven't begun to get into the wisdom of God. Because you could gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And what would you profit at that most? The smartest person on the planet is those who start with God. I said those who start with God. Then the rest of that can fall into place and God can help you. Yes, you do need education. Yes, you need all that. But get it right with him, then start the process. That's good preaching today. I thought I was coming to a service where they didn't have any life. How many knows we need life? When Jesus spoke, notice that he went from village and town to town. Jesus was a traveling evangelist too. If you look at his disciples, when he sent them out, he sent them out two by two. Jesus modeled that. We need to get back to that. You want this church to grow? I do. Invite somebody. And generally, you have to invite a bunch of people before somebody says, yes, I'll come. But that's the greatest growth church will ever have, is because you invite somebody. Look at your week this week. Who can I invite? And you know what? The Lord can drop somebody in your heart. Go after it. Keep speaking to it. That's good preaching today, Pastor. Look at verse 27. He'll say to them, I tell you, I don't know you or where you're from. Depart from me, all that you work iniquities. Notice he's given time to get it right. Time to get it right. In fact, it's been years. Years to get it right. Years to get it right. And finally, the door shut. And then now they stand, Lord, open up to us. And all of a sudden, I'm always amazed that instantly we get religious when we're outside. Lord, didn't I do this? I went to Lighthouse and grabbed a bulletin. I went to Lighthouse and I heard that pastor dude speak. I was there, Lord. I had a Bible under my bed that was dusty, left in the closet 2 years ago. I know it. My mother was a Christian. Lord, open to me. See, if you die in your sins, you have died in your sins. And now you have to pay the price for your own sin when he could have paid it for you and did. You'll accept full responsibility. And here's the part that the world doesn't get. God is a holy God. He is absolutely holy. No sin will stand in his presence. That's why the Holy Spirit is working in you. Even in my own personal life, there are times I'll go to prayer, the Holy Spirit will check me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, forgive me. Even if I have no known thing in my life, the Holy Spirit makes you holy. He brings you to that place. And listen to me, you can't fake relationships. I remember one time I was in the aisle in the store. You ever had seen a child that was really unruly? I mean, really unruly. This child was pulling cans off the shelf in the grocery store and just making a havoc. And I'm like, oh. I mean, sometimes you just got to, like, the peace of God. I'm like, oh, Jesus, if you were my child, you wouldn't be doing that, praise the Lord. The kids started taking the peach cans and just chucking them. I'm like, I finally said, look, I'm sorry, you really can't do that. You can't do that. Mom's at the end of the aisle. She comes up. And I thought mom would, like, discipline. Mom said, oh, it's okay. I thought, Lord, help me, amen? Or do you all think differently? How many are like, oh, Jesus, let me help it? Listen, if we just placate sin and say it's okay to do whatever you want, it goes to another generation. How many parents today aren't serving the Lord and their kids aren't? I mean, as it goes down the line, somebody's going to be held accountable. We need patriarchs and families to say, you know what? Grandkids, you come over our house, we're Christians. How many of us, there needs to be a standard. If they choose another way, that's their choice, but there's still a standard. You patriarchs and your family, stand firm about who God is. You reach out in love. Well, I looked at a situation and went, oh, Lord, help. Amen. If you were my child, praise the Lord. Amen. I'd have you apologizing to the manager and I'd pay for your damage. Say amen. But how many of us, they got to learn. Notice when the door's shut, they'll say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And notice his response. I never knew you. You were never intimate with me. You don't know me. You just know my title. Hello? How many of us, we got to know the Lord? Come on. Some of us grew up with families that had a mother and father, but you really didn't know them. I understand that. But you have an opportunity. Here's what Jesus said. If even without father or mother, I'll be that to you. To know God is life. Well, this is good today. Say, God's good. Look at verse 27. But he'll say to you, I tell you, I don't know you. From who you are, depart from me. Listen to me. Either you're saved by grace or you're still in your sins. It's a choice. Listen to me. He calls people to repentance. Here's the way you have to go to hell. You have to step over Jesus himself. You have to deny the Holy Spirit in your life. And you have to avoid the Word of God totally. So if when somebody ends up in hell, they have to step over Jesus, reject the Holy Spirit unto death, and never listen to his word. That takes quite a bit. Come on. Let's add us in the equation. What if you shared the good news with them? They have to overcome that too and push that away. Your life will count in people's eternities. I pray it counts that they got their life right. And which one of us will be bummed out if somebody comes up to you in heaven and maybe just obscure, didn't really know, and they say, you know what? You reached this person. That was my cousin. I lived in this state. They sent me a word. I got my life right. My whole family got saved. That family reached this community. That whole town got saved. All these got saved because of your effort. How many of us, God's always a multiplier. What if a whole city got saved by your effort by reaching one person? I believe God can do that. Then listen to me. What we do now matters. Jesus is the best kept secret. Listen, the door is still open. I said the door is still open. That means we got to do work. Because when it shuts, no man can work. It's a terrible place to end up separate from God. The enemy tries to make hell a place where all my friends will join. All my friends will have a party. That is such a lie. You'll be by yourself, isolated in pain and suffering forever. Because it's never been created for man, but for Satan and his angels. And then you'll have a glorified body in there, so you'll never destroy. You'll wish it would burn you up. Every breath in will engulf another gulf of flames. You'll never have rest. You'll have torment every single day for the rest of your life. You don't even want that for somebody who doesn't even like you. That's why we got to lay all that aside. Is this too heavy duty today? There's good news. Everybody smile at me. Say, there's good news coming. Look at verse 29. Luke 13, 29. And they will come. Somebody say they're going to come. They're going to come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of heaven. The church is going to do what God's called it to do. There is good news there. I've read the back of the book, we win. There'll be many that'll go off. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, but the gospel will still reach the whole known world one day. That's good news. That means every people group will have an opportunity to have heard the gospel. Amen? I have a friend of mine, a missionary, who ministers to the Maasai tribe in Africa. And where the people live out in the outer areas, it takes them 4 hours to get from where they live to the church. And every Sunday, that's their Sunday. There's a tribe that has gotten saved, and they walk 4 hours to church. The pastor had to change his whole service. Because if you walk 4 hours to service, how many knows an hour's service isn't going to cut it? Say amen. So they've extended it now that they have lunchtime there. It's several hours they're there. When service is over, the whole tribe goes and walks another 4 hours back home every single Sunday. It doesn't matter the heat, the temperature, they're faithful. I mean, I think that's awesome. Even in the most remote places now, the gospel is being preached. How many of us that in America, we've had the gospel so much. We need missionaries today in America. I said, we need missionaries today in America. Amen? I love it. A friend of mine, he works in an area where it's more mostly Asian population. And they had a village out there that was so poor. They got a hold of this. One lady said, you know what? I can weave something. Another person said, I can do this. One person said, you know what? I got boxes I can package. A group got together and they started to make certain objects that they were good at. And now they're selling them. And now they're coming out of poverty. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, the gospel works no matter where it is. We have opulence here. We do. But many places don't. You want to have a sobering fact? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Or even read the martyrs of today, those pamphlets. People today are still losing their life for the gospel. We have it so free here. Amen. But if our freedoms are taken away, I'm still going to serve the Lord. Amen. How many knows God's not willing that any should perish? Here's what it says in Revelation. Revelation 3 verse 5. He that overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3 verse 21. To him who overcomes, I'll grant him to sit on my throne as my Father has granted me to sit on his throne. I love that. Notice that you won't be blotted out. Your name will be written there. There are in Revelation, it says this. There's a book of life, and there's the books written about our life. If you had to give an account of every word you ever spoken, the ones you can't even remember, how many words have you spoken out of your mouth already? How many libraries have came out of you? What if you had to give an account of every action you ever did? Every thought that came into your heart, you had to give account of that. You see, it's not one sin that'll send us to hell. Our life will be judged. And if you don't think God can remember, you're fooling yourself. God knows everything. But what I love about the Lord is that when you get your life right, he blots out those things against you. And he can forget as much as he can remember. Say amen. I mean, that's good news. I said, that's good news. I love it that I've been forgiven. If you had to confess every sin at the altar, I know I'd miss one. But I'm glad if I say, Lord, forgive me of every. He knows every. He is so quick to forgive us. He is so loving to. But we have to listen to me. We have to respond. And verse 30 says this, indeed, there are those that are last who shall be first, and those who are first shall be last. We're the last if you're Gentiles in here. He went to the Jews first and they rejected him. So he went after. So now, truthfully, the last has become first. Any nation that forgets God is reduced to nothing. When this door is shut, it indicates there's a failure of choice. You no longer have one to choose. Now it's chosen for you. Amen? I know this for a fact. When the door's shut, you no longer have a voice for it. You now have your sentence. When the door's shut, that means there's no longer for change. You died in your sins. When the door's shut, it indicates a fulfillment of grace. I did all I could, everything. When the door's shut, now it indicates whatever punishment Jesus took, you now have. And it'll take you forever in that arena. I cringe when I think about eternity. I love this side of joy, peace with him, but I cringe with those who will never be able to get out of that area. It grips me, knowing that it's forever and ever and ever. And the best illustration somebody gave me about eternity was this. If you grabbed a grain of sand here and you walk from here to the moon and you set the grain down, until you got the whole earth on the moon, that's 1 second in eternity. Lord, help us. We need to be about our Father's business. we also need to pray, Lord, I pray that people's hearts are open to receive the gospel. If you ever go out and witness, pray, Lord, give me an open door, a path to speak into there. Come against the strongholds in your prayer time. Speak in those things that when the gospel is preached, their entrance and their understanding is opened, that they can get their life right. It's serious business, kingdom business. We need to keep it there. Amen? How many want to still serve the Lord with all your heart? As we close here in this message, this is serious business here. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I need to get some things right with the Lord. I'm not going to make you confess all your sins. You just do that to God. He'll forgive you. But I want to give you an opportunity. How many here say, Pastor, I need to get my life right with God this morning? Just lift up your hand, okay? Anybody else? Yield to the Holy Spirit. He stands at the door. Remember, he stands and knocks. It's too late when you have to knock. He stands and knocks. If any man opens, anybody else? Say, Pastor, I need to get some things right with the Lord. Okay. Secondly, here's maybe you once served him more with passion than you have right now. But you're at that place, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm gonna serve you. Your ways are the best ways. His grace has brought you to that place where now, hey, Lord, I'm gonna go after you. I want to see who is that this morning. Just lift your hand. Okay? All right. And third thing, how many want to know that you're washed in the blood and your name's in the book of life? You want to keep serving him in that arena. Amen. And last here, how many want to be used by the Lord to reach this world in the last days? My hand is up too. Lord, I want to be used by you to rescue, to go after. I want to be like Jesus, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Amen. If you would, gently grab the hand of somebody next to you, whether you know them or not. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. There's somebody in every row that lifted their hands. And I want you to pray this in faith, meaning this prayer. And God will hear your heart cry and he'll work accordingly. Pray this with me, Lord Jesus. Everyone in here, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, my Savior. You said in your word, if I'd call on your name, I would be saved. So this morning, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Holy Spirit, come live in me. Change me. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he arose from the dead. So this morning, right now, I'm saved and I'm forgiven. Father, I thank you for what Jesus has done for me. And I receive it by faith. In your name, amen. 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 Well, God is good. Amen. Well, next week, I...